Turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Last week we concluded chapter 6 and we talked about being godly. And we need to be who God calls us to be. In way of review, verses 1 through 5 talk about the pursuit of godliness. That we need to acknowledge authority in our testimony and also in temperament, talking about bond service. We are a bond servant to Christ. We need to serve Him. But we need to serve everybody that's over us as an employer or as a leader as we're serving Christ. And then we need to avoid apostates. There's a lot of false teaching out there. Okay? We need to recognize what their actions are, their attitude. It's all about them and not about God. And their actuality is they're false. They're liars. And so we need to avoid them and have no company with them at all. In verses 6 and 10, we see the provision of godliness that God gives us. We need to appreciate God's sufficiency. Have you thanked God for all the things He's given us? Okay? We need to do the doxology every day. And then we need to understand that the condition is that we need to be content with what God gives us. It says that that is great gain. Then in verses 7 and 8, we see that we need to understand the temporary nature of earthly riches. You cannot take it with you. Okay? That's the fact. And the findings is that we just need to be pleased with what are sufficient for our life. But looking at the future should cause us to live for God now. And then we need to avoid greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. And we talked about that. It's an evil desire. Evil desire will lead to evil actions. It will lead to negative consequences. And there's a warning about that, which we just talked about. Verses 11 through 21, we talked about the practice of godliness. We need to follow godly traits. In verse 11, it says that flee these things, all the stuff he was talking about in the first 10 verses. And then follow what? Follow righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. In verse 12, we're supposed to fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life as if you possess it now. And then face up to Christ in verses 13 through 16. He says, I give you charge in the sight of God. It's God that does all this thing. And we need to understand that we need to face up to that. We need to foster others to seek God, to serve God, and store up treasure to God. And then in verses 20 through 21, we see faithfulness. We need to be faithful to the end. He says, O Timothy, he's begging him, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely so caused. It says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Don't start letting your thinking get in the way of your faith. Amen. You'll mess it up. Don't let science get in the way of your faith. You'll mess it up. And so that concludes the first letter. Tonight we start the second letter. This is written some years afterward. It's written from prison in Rome. You go to chapter 4, we see that Paul is expecting a execution in the near future. And he takes time to write this letter. In chapter 1, he's encouraging Timothy. And tonight, do we need some encouragement? You get out in that traffic, and you need encouragement. You see what's going on in the world, you need encouragement. Our hope's in God.
Amen.
Okay? Our hope's in God. And so Paul encourages Timothy to keep going. Timothy is still the pastor at the church at Ephesus. The first 5 verses talk about remembering Timothy. As he writes this, he starts off with his call. And we see the call of Paul in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. This first part of this acknowledge, this greeting, is the same that he uses in other letters. But there's a unique difference here. This is the only time that he talks about the promise of life. And most theologians, most Bible scholars say it's because of what Paul is facing. He's in a prison. He is waiting execution. And the only hope that he has now is the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, this is what Paul's writing. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
For in this we groan. This is what kept Paul going in the midst of this. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. You go on and read the rest of the chapter. And he says, for me to die is gain. Okay? For me to die is gain. And so as he starts writing to Timothy, he says, look, he says, we have this promise of life that's never going to be taken away. We also have a call on our lives. Paul was called to be an apostle. Timothy was called to be the pastor. We're all called to be servants of God. We're all called to be saved.
Amen.
The issue is are we listening to the call? So in way of introduction, we see the call of Paul. In verse 2, we see the consideration of Paul for Timothy. He says, to Timothy. And then we see his feelings toward him, his relationship toward him. He says, my dearly beloved son. Timothy, if you go in and read the book of Acts chapter 16, Timothy is introduced. Timothy, his mom was a Jewess. His father was a Greek. He was in the city of Lystra. And Paul met him. He had already received Christ, and because his mom believed and his grandma believed, and he goes with Paul on missionary journeys. If you go and you read the other letters, Timothy was one of the go-to guys that Paul had. He sent him to Corinth. He sent him to all these places where they were ministered. So he was getting a baptism of fire, literally, on ministry. And so it was a natural decision, really, and a spiritual decision, that Timothy was proven himself in all these other ministry opportunities for Paul and being walked aside Paul and being a disciple, being discipled by Paul, that he was chosen for this job. And that put a special part in Paul's heart for him. And he says, my dearly beloved son. And then he says, grace, mercy, and peace. You know, if we can't wish grace, and God's mercy and peace on the ones who are closest to us, we got a problem.
Amen.
We got a problem. So he said, look, he says, I want God's grace to rain down on you. I want God's mercy to rain down on you. I want God's peace to rain down on you. That should be the prayer for all of us. It should be a prayer for a church. It's the same phrase that he uses in 1 Timothy, the first letter. In verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only one source of grace, and that's Jesus. There's only one source of mercy, and that's Jesus. There's only one source for peace, and that's Jesus. And Paul wanted Timothy to remember that. And we need to be constantly reminded of God's grace and his mercy and his peace. So we see the call of Paul. We see the consideration of Paul. And then in verse 3, we see the continual prayers of Paul. If someone is significant in your life, you got to pray for them.
Amen.
If someone's special in your life, you got to pray for them. God thinks they're special. We need to say, or consider that too. In verse 3, it says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers. You know, the issue here is, if you're serving God, you ought to be a person of prayer.
Amen.
Okay? And if you're a praying person, you ought to be serving God. The two go together.
Amen.
Okay? With what? A pure conscience. He writes to Titus, he says, dude, there's a whole bunch of defiled people around you. And he says the same thing to Timothy. We should kind of close that out in chapter 6. He says, but we need to have a pure conscience. He says, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You can see this special relationship by the terms of endearment that he uses, by what he asks for Timothy to experience. Okay? We see the commitment of Paul to Timothy. You know, how many times, if you were in the military, say, we're going to be best friends forever.
Yeah.
And then you go away, and they go away, and you might stay in contact for some period of time, and then over time, it kind of fades away. That wasn't Paul. In verse 4, we see his commitment. Great, his prayer is this. He wanted to be with him. Now, do you want to be with brothers and sisters in Christ? That should be our prayer. He says, greatly desiring to see thee. Now, in the end, Timothy comes to Rome. Okay? Because Romans has him there. Okay? Being mindful of thy tears. You know, we need to be considerate of how other people feel and think and love. We need to do so. He's mindful of how Timothy feels for him. Says that I may be what?
Yeah.
Filled with joy. And you know that's what relationships should do. It should cause both involved to be joyful. If you're in relationships that doesn't cause joy, that you don't want to speak God's grace and mercy and peace on them, there's something wrong with that. You need to get that fixed. So we see the commitment of Paul. So we see the call of him. We see the consideration of Paul had for Timothy. We see the continual prayers of Paul for Timothy. And then we have the commitment of Paul. And then we have the commendation of Paul. You know, I'm brought to mind in Revelation 2 and 3 when Christ tells John to write these letters to the churches, there's something positive to all the churches. And those things that are written to the churches talk about God's character. And I'm sure wherever Paul was when he thought of Timothy, it brought a smile to his face. Knowing that there's somebody out there serving God, doing the best he can. And he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, there's no boundaries to what Timothy did. He saw, he sent him places. He helped Paul in the ministry. You know, he didn't throw a fit when Paul said, you know, you really need to be circumcised so we can get rid of this temple thing. And so the Jews don't get mad at us. Timothy was willing to do whatever was necessary to serve the purpose of God. Paul was willing to do whatever was necessary to serve the purpose of God. And that should be recognized, and we should be encouraging that. See, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and here's the reason, parents and grandparents, you have an effect on your kids and your grandkids. Okay? It says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and what? I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, there's some people that you kind of doubt. Really? Are you really following God? Are you really a child of God? With Paul and Timothy, there was no doubt. And folks, we ought to live our lives so the people around us should say, I have no doubt
Amen.
That who we are. Right. Our friendships should be, there should be no doubt. And so verses 1 through 5, we see this remembering Timothy and his greeting. Verses 6 through 14 deals, though, with rekindling Timothy. You know, we all need encouragement. We all need revival. We all need to be lifted up and to edify. And so, in this passage here, Paul writes to Timothy and says, there's some things that I want you to continue to remember. In verse 6, he says, you need to stir up the gift of God that's inside of you. And you know, every time that we come to church, it ought to stir us up some more. Amen. Anytime we're talking, we read God's word, it ought to stir us up some more. Every time we pray, it ought to stir us up some more. This is the concept of stirring up a fire, of making it. If you just leave a fire alone, what's going to happen? It goes out. You have to constantly tend to it. Folks, in our spiritual life, we have to constantly tend to what we have. Amen. Okay? In verse 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. You know, kind of gets discouraging when you're all alone. Kind of gets discouraging when your closest friend's not there. And Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, look, stir up the gift of God, okay? Which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So Paul ordained him, basically. Got the Holy Spirit so everybody would see that he was a special chosen vessel. He needs to stir that up. Folks, we need to stir up what God's given us. We need to stir up the remembrance of our salvation. We need to stir up the spiritual gifts that we're given. We ought to stir up the service that we're doing and not let it just sit there because it'll go out. And so the first thing is, stir up the gift of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it says, talking about the issue about, well, my gift's better than your gift, okay, type of thing. It says, even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Amen. That's the purpose. It's not about you looking good.
Right.
Yeah. It's about all of us being good.
Right.
It's about glorifying God. And so he says, Timothy, the first thing you need to remember is who you are and who got you there. And you need to stir that up. You need to stir that up. Verse 7, stay strong in the Spirit. And I got two there. I don't know. I just went nuts and put two there. It's one. I fixed the references, but I didn't fix the things, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John puts it this way. There is no fear in love, for fear hath torment. He that is not perfect in love hath fear. Okay, if you have no fear, you're perfect in love. So basically, we don't have that spirit. We have to have the spirit of God. And what does the spirit of God give us? Power. The second thing he gives us is love. And then the third thing is a sound mind. James says it this way. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, what? Stand fast in the what?
Faith.
Faith. Quit you like men. Just keep on going. Stand strong. Just go to the end. Endure. Be strong. So, in verse 6, stir up the gift of God. In verse 7, stay strong to God. And I just kept on making the same mistake. Okay? In verses 8 through 14, need to stay steadfast to your calling. In the power of God, verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Now, some people say, if Paul's writing this, then he had some concern for what Timothy had. And that may be true. But when we see someone that's weak in faith, what should we do? We should strengthen them, right?
Amen.
We should edify them. Maybe Paul realizes the challenges that he's going through, because Paul's been there. It says, but be not there, thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of salvation to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. In Romans verse 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not what?
Ashamed.
Why would we be ashamed? Because we don't think that God will do it. We think that following Christ's footsteps, we would have to be humble, and that might cause us to look, have people look down on us. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Are you ashamed to do something for God? If you are, you've got a problem. You're letting you get in the way of service.
Amen.
Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Jesus died for the ungodly. Jesus gave us all things. We can't be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Christ says, if you're ashamed of my father, of me in this adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed before your father. So he says, look, stay steadfast to your calling. Don't give it a second thought to your service for God, because you have the power of God inside of you.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Stay steadfast to your calling in the power of God. Stay steadfast to your calling in the person of Christ. In verses 9 and 10, it says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We need to understand that these are all gifts. He says, stir up the gift. Take it out. Use it. Examine it. Make it grow. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You know, God's got a plan for each and every one of us in here. He's got a purpose. First of all, our purpose is to do good works. Our purpose is to be the light of the world. Our purpose is to be the salt of the earth. Our purpose is to spread the gospel. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to be conformed to his image. Our purpose is to follow truth. Our purpose is to do all things that are godly. But according to his own purpose and grace. You can't do this unless you have his grace. And what did Paul want? Grace, mercy, and peace. Okay? Which was given us in what? Christ Jesus before the world began. God thought about this, Timothy, thousands of years before this situation. He's got you. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath what? Abolished death. Paul was facing death. A physical death, but not a spiritual death. Okay? And hath brought what? Life and immortality to light through the gospel. Timothy, there's hope. I have hope. You have hope. We have hope. So we need to be steadfast in your calling in the power of God. We need to be steadfast in our calling in the person of Christ. You need to be steadfast to your calling in the plan of God. In verses 11 and 12, it says, "Wherefore, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." What's Paul saying? He says, I have not forgotten what God has done for me and what God wants me to do. Timothy, do not forget what God has called you to do. Church, do not forget what God has called you to do. As each of every one of us individuals, do not forget what God has done for us and has called us to do. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not what? Ashamed. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to be embarrassed. Because I have the power of God. We have the person of Christ. And then, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. And we sing the song. Are we that convinced? Are we that convinced? We need to know who you believe in. Who do you believe in tonight? Who do you believe in? And that ought to change the way you are. We need to be persuaded that God's got it. Amen. We don't. He gives us the grace to do it. Amen. Stay steadfast to your calling in the power of God. Stay steadfast to your calling in the person of Christ. Stay steadfast in your calling in the plan of God. And stay steadfast to your calling in the performance of your ministry in verses 13 through 14. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful. Mm-hmm. That promised.
Amen.
But are we faithful? Are we faithful? This is what we need to hold fast to. Everything needs to be looked at in the prism of the Bible. Preaching needs to be held fast to this. And you hold me accountable to this. Okay? You hold teachers accountable to this. Because there's a lot of weird words out there right now.
Yeah.
Amen? And he says, Timothy, you don't have to be ashamed of Christ. You don't have to be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison. Because I know who I believed. I know where I'm going. And you need to have that confidence too. Stay steadfast to your calling. So, we have this remembering Timothy in Greece. We have this rekindling Timothy to stir up, to stay strong, okay? To be steadfast. And then we need to remind Timothy. You know, oftentimes we need to be reminded of the realities of our spiritual walk.
Amen.
In verses 15 and 16. I got it right again. Finally. I hate copy and paste, don't you? Okay? Here's a reality. Timothy and the rest of us. Be mindful of the deserters. Don't let them discourage you that you quit. In verse 15, he says, "This thou what?
Knowest."
He says, "I just want to remind you, okay, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Whoa. He says, "I'm here alone. And oh, by the way, if they've turned on me, turn on you. If they turned on Christ, they'll turn on you. Understand, if the world hated me, they'll hate you. They hated me before they hated you." That's what Christ said. Okay? "Of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes," or I think it's Hermogenes, but whatever the case may be. You know, I would hate to be those two guys. To be called out of God's word as someone has turned your back on God. That's bad. That's bad, but it's an example of not to be singled out for doing that. God knows. People know. Don't desert the faith. And don't be discouraged when other people do it. You keep your mind on Christ. You heed the call to follow. You understand what discipleship is. You understand the cost of it. You understand the power of it. But when there's deserters, there's also the diligent. Those who did mercy and helped Paul. They'll help Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he what? Oft refreshed me and was not afraid of my chain." This guy came from Ephesus to Rome. Because we'll see that in the next verse. You want God to bless you? You bless others. You want God's mercy on you? You show mercy to others. Matthew 5, verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall" what? "Obtain mercy." Timothy, remember those that help you. Don't discard them and use them like the world. Understand where that help comes from. Those people are drawn by God to you to help, just like they've been drawn by God to me to help. And don't throw them under the bus. Remember this. Remember those who show mercy to you. Remember those who help in the ministry. Verse 17, it says, "But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and" what? "Found me." You know, we need people who start something and finish. We need people to start something, and when they can't find the answer easily, they keep on going. And they keep on going until they get the answer. This is this guy. Onesiphorus. He did this. Rome was a big city. And he found Paul out of all that. It says, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And now we see the other thing. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, which, old Timothy, you saw with your own eyes. You know his testimony. Folks, do we have a testimony that's known? Do we have a testimony that's remembered? Do we have a testimony that's commended? A testimony that's brought to light for other people to help? So he's reminding Timothy, he says, don't be discouraged by the deserters. Be encouraged by those that are diligent. Help those who help you, especially in the ministry. So tonight, do we need encouragement? Do we need encouragement like Timothy? We have a great God.
Amen.
Amen? And he will give us encouragement. He'll lift up the feeble hands. He'll heal the brokenhearted. He wants to show, he wants us to have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, and that our hope in God will not be, we will not be ashamed of it. Amen? Let's follow him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask for this time of invitation. God, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow you. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Lord, give us your grace and your mercy and your peace. Help us, Lord, to stir up what you've put in us. That we not be double-minded, that we be sound-minded. And that we would stand strong in faith. Increase our faith. Encourage us tonight through your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.